Okay, today's daf is the first daf of the third parak of Maseches Nedarim, daf Chaf Aleph. We left off at the end of the second, we finished the second parak yesterday, so we are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Chaf Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss four types, or it's going to briefly mention four types of Nedarim that Hitiru Chachamim, that don't even require Hatara She'ela or anything, they're just not Nedarim to begin with, and we're specifically going to focus both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara on Nidrei Ziruzin, which are Nedarim that are said as a way of getting someone to do something, as a way of making a point, and are not meant seriously as a viable neder. And the Gemara is going to discuss whether our Mishnah that discusses Nidrei Zeruzin is dafka going according to the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon, that Nezirus is only done with hafla'a, has to be done with an absolute statement, or is even going, if you hold not like Rabbi Tarfon, and we're going to discuss some of the gedarim of what Nidrei Zeruzin is really all about, and whether these on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about whether these Dalin Nedarim that our Mishnah discusses require She'ela or don't require She'ela. And then the Daf is going to conclude with four specific cases where Chachamim were Matir based on a Pesach that they found. We're probably not going to get to all four. The fourth one is actually Ilchav Beis Amud Alv, so we'll at least get to two or three of them, Be'ezras Hashem. But that's what we're going to be discussing today. Now this parak marks a bit of a shift from what we've been discussing previously. The Tosus points out, Tosus Yishanim point out, that in the previous couple of prakim, we were talking about kinuye nedarim, different lashonos of nedarim, being matvis with a neder, and whenever a neder was not going to be 100% binding, in the previous couple of prakim, it's always because of the lashon that was employed. Someone used a lashon that wasn't a real strong lashon of a neder. This parak is going to talk about where you take a neder that's entirely an appropriate lashon of a neder, it's a very strong lashon of a neder, but still the neder is not going to be chal because it's not with it's even though it's with a lashon gamur, it's not with das gemura, it's not with absolute das, it's not with complete das. That we assume that ein piv of libo shavin, that what the person is saying and what the person is thinking are not exactly the same thing, and that too can be a weakness in the strength of a neder. So let's begin with the Mishnah. Arba nedarim mitiru chacham. There are four nedarim that the chachamim themselves matir, meaning it doesn't even require hataras chacham. It's, or at least that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. Does not require hataras chacham. That it's mutter on its own. And they are nidrei zeruzin. Someone takes a neder to be mezari someone else to change his mind. So, and the Mishnah is going to give an example in a minute about that. What that means, that I take a neder to get somebody else to try to change his mind. Such a neder is not going to be chal because I don't really mean it as a neder. I'm just trying to get someone else to move off of a bargaining position and to change his mind. Second one is vinidre avai, someone who's no der bederach guzma, in an exaggerated fashion. Like he says that I'm answering these peros on myself. If I didn't see kiyotze Mitzrayim, there were so many people there, it was like the amount of people that left Mitzrayim. So clearly the guy didn't see 600,000 people. He didn't see kiyotze Mitzrayim. What he means to say, you know, I was at a wedding, there were so many people, it was kiyotze Mitzrayim. There was no wedding where there were 600,000 people there. He meant to say that there were a lot of people there, that it was more crowded than your typical wedding. So that's such a neder is also not going to be considered a viable neder because he didn't really mean it. V'nidre shkagos, the third category is that there was a mistake at the time of the neder. So it turns out that he asked something on himself b'shogeg, like he said konam peros alai imachalti, and at the time that I'm taking a neder, this should be asr if I ate something, and he didn't realize that he actually ate something. He thought that he didn't eat. That's why he took the neder, because he was trying to make a point that he doesn't want these peros to be asr to him. He was just trying to emphasize that he didn't eat, but he had made a mistake. He really did eat it previously. He did fulfill the tanai. So that's a shogeg at the time of the neder. And similarly, if he had a shogeg at the time of the kiyum hatanai, he says konam kikar zaralai im ochel hayom, that I'm going to take a neder if I eat today. And then he forgets his neder and he eats, not realizing that he had taken the neder earlier in the day. That would also be nidrei shkagos, and such a neder would not be chal. And the fourth category of a neder that's not chal is v'nidrei onsin. Some sort of onus happened where he's not able to be mekayim the neder, like a person asks someone to eat a meal with him, and in order to be to strengthen the invitation, the Mezuman asks from the Mazmin that he should be Noder Neder, that if he doesn't eat with him, then he's going to ask for his Nechasim on him. And then it turns out that he got sick or some other onus came up where he wasn't able to come to the Su'udah. So such a Neder is not going to be a binding Neder. So these are the four types of Nedarim that we have that are not binding Nedarim, even though the Lashonos are absolute Lashonos of Neder. The Ritva here writes that these Nedarim, even though previously we distinguished between Nedarim taken by a Talmud Chacham versus Nedarim taken by an Amma Aretz, where even Nedarim that aren't Chal for an Amma Aretz, we just said yesterday in yesterday's daf, we're going to be Machmir on him, Onshim Oso, Machmirim Alav for an Amma Aretz, because we're afraid that he's going to fall into bad habits of taking Nedarim. The Ritva writes over here, this is Mutar Afilu Amma Aretz, because these Nedarim are clearly recognizable that they have no value whatsoever, and therefore there's no chashash that someone is going to be matir other nedarim if we allow him to get away with these nedarim. But Rishonim quote from a Tosefta that even these nedarim that are mutar me'aleim, but we learn from the pasuk lo yachal devaro that you're still not supposed to make these nedarim. Lo yachal devaro teaches us that even though these nedarim are not binding, still midrabanan, at least pasuk is nasmachta midrabanan, it's not appropriate to take even such nedarim, even nedarim that aren't going to be chal at all. So nidrei zeruzin ketzad. What's an example of nidrei zeruzin? And where does a person take a neder as a bargaining position? How does that ever happen? Hayamocher chefetz, a person is selling an object. Va'amar, and he says the following. Konim she'eni poches l'cha min ha-sela. He says, I am taking b'lashon neder that I will not charge you any less than a sela for this object. Meaning, I will not move off of this price. You cannot give me any less than this price. And I'm taking a neder ana if I move off of this price. Va'lo omer. And the other one says, konim she'eni mos v'cha l'shekel. Well, that's funny because I'm not paying more than a shekel for it. A shekel is much less than a sela. I'm not going to pay you any more than a shekel for it. I'm taking a neder to that effect. Well, shneim rotzim b'shloshah dinarim. What they both are trying to say is that if they're willing to settle on a price that's in between of shloshah dinarim. So when one said, I'm not going to sell it for less than a sela, what he meant is, I'm not going to sell it for a shekel, but I'll sell it for shloshah dinarim. When the other one said, I'm not going to buy it for more than a shekel, what he meant to say is, I'm not paying a sela, but I'll pay shloshah dinarim, that much I'm willing to pay for it. So that's what they both intended to begin with, and therefore their neder is not chal, because they were clearly just using the neder as a way of bargaining the price. The Ran writes over here, "V'taymid the milsul fisha darken shalmocher v'lokech bekach u'mishamachi lo mikru dvarim shabalev." The Ran says this isn't even called dvarim shabalev because it's the derech to talk this way. It's the derech of a mocher and a lokech to have some gamesmanship in the way that they negotiate a price. That's normal, so it's not even considered to be a Dvarim Shablev. It's considered to be that's what the words mean. It's an interesting factor in the sugya of Midvar Sheker Tirchat. How do we define what's called a lie? We didn't get the chance to discuss yesterday, but one of the shadows that someone said, if the coach of the Golden State Warriors had lied to everyone about what a starting lineup would be. So is that mutter to do? Are you allowed to lie if it's gamesmanship? It's understood. What if that there's going to be some non-truth telling in order to be able to gain the upper hand. So if that's what the words mean, everyone knows that no one's saying the truth in those circumstances, it's still a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchat. Pashtus as it is a violation, but at least in terms of Nedarim, it's not going to be called Dvarim Shebelev. We know that what he really intended, because this is the language that the people are speaking. This is what they actually meant when they said these prices and they said these Nedarim. Now, what does it mean I take a neder? A neder is on a cheftza, right? You have to say, I asser this on me. What exactly are they assering? A neder that I'm not going to sell for less than a seller, that's a shvua, that's not a neder. But what does it mean? What exactly are they assering with the neder? So there are different shittos in the Rishonim. The Ran over here says that the mocher is assering on himself, bekonam, any money he gets for the object if he sells it for less than a seller. He says, I am taking a neder that I will not get any enough from any money I get from you if I decide to sell this for less than a seller. And the kona is asking on him, the lokech is asking on himself, bekonam, the item himself that he's going to buy, if he buys it for more than a shekel, that I will not get any enough from this item if I have to pay more than a shekel from it. So that's how the Ran understands. The Russian understands that the mocher asks on himself a separate item. He takes a kikar, a loaf of bread, and he says, kikar ze alai, if I sell this item for less than a shela. And the lokech will say, kikar ze alai, if I buy it for more than a shekel. Different shitos, other shitos in Rishonim say, no, they're only taking a nether about that money, about the difference in price. That the if I say I'm not going to sell it for less than a shela, so any amount that I sell it for less than a shela, I'm taking a nether anah on that amount of money. Or any amount that I pay more than a shekel, I'm taking a nether anah on that amount of money. Different shitos, but it has to be something. It has to connect to something. You can't just take, there's no such thing as just taking a nether without some sort of chefza. And the Sefer HaFlos and Darim says, why don't the Rishonim just say kipshuto, that the mocher is asking himself bekonim, the chefetz itself le'inyan mechira, meaning we have an idea that even if that there's a way around this idea that a neder cannot be on an action, neder has to be on a chefza. Like we said, you can't take a neder about sitting in sukkah, but you can take a neder sukkah ze alai li yeshiva, that this sukkah is the chefza upon which the neder is chal, vis-a-vis yeshiva besukkah. So why don't you say, this chefza, this object that I'm selling, is going to be usher to me, or the mochers, the lokech, is going to say, this object is going to be usher to me, vis-a-vis mechira, as far as selling it goes. So the Sefer HaFlos and Darim points out that you can't say, that you can only say that when there's a tashmish b'guf ha-chefetz, when you're talking about using the object itself, as like by the sukkah, by the lulav, where you're talking about actually using the item. Over here, mechira is not a mice or a tashmish that comes from the actual chefetz itself. He's just being mesalig his rishos from the object, and he's being maknit to the other party through his das, through his ratzel. Now you can't say that you're asring bekonam, that you're taking a neder to asr such a chefza, because that's really a din in the gavra. It's not a din in the chefza. So there was also a further discussion in the Rishonim over here. We said that shneim rotzim b'shlosh dinarim. They both really intended to settle on a price of 3 dinarim. So good. So if they sell it for 3 dinarim, we know what the halach is. That's perfectly fine. What if they sell it for some other number that's in between the two, the shekel and the sela? Are we saying that this is a binding neder, it's just a binding neder that they sell it for 3 dinarim? Or do we say, no, it's not a binding neder at all, because the guy who said sela didn't mean sela, the guy who said shekel didn't mean shekel, so any number in between would be fine, because it's not a binding neder at all. So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim over here, whether the Mishnah is being precise when we say, shneim rotzim b'shlosh dinarim, that's mamish what they mean to say. What they mean to say is it's code words for shlosh dinarim, or it's not what they mean to say. It's that they're just trying to, they're just posturing, and therefore when a person is posturing, whatever he says is not going to be relevant when he's not saying it seriously. Okay, says the Gemara, arba nedarim itiru chachamim. We said this idea that there are these 4 nedarim that the chamra matir may elav. These nedarim are mutar me'aleihem on their own. You don't need to actually do anything to be matir these nedarim. Amar le Rabbi Abba bar Mama le Rabbi Ami. Amar lan shmeid Rabbi Yudin Nasiya. Man tana arba nedarim. So Rabbi Abba bar Mama said to Rabbi Ami that in the name of Rabbi Yudin Nasiya, who's the one that taught us this Mishnah of arba nedarim? Who's the shita in Tanaim that holds that these nedarim are not chal me'ikara, that they're not binding whatsoever? So Rabbi Yudahi, it must be Rabbi Yudahi damar mishum Rabbi Tarfon. It must be the old shita of Rabbi Yudah in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. Just to remind ourselves, Rabbi Yudah b'shem Rabbi Tarfon was one who held that if you have two guys who are, Reuven and Shimon are talking to each other, and they see a guy across the street, and Reuven says, you see that guy? I'm going to be a Nazir if that guy's a Nazir. And then Shimon says, oh yeah, well I'm going to be a Nazir if that guy's not a Nazir. So you would imagine that you investigate whether the guy's a Nazir or not, and then you know whether Reuven or Shimon is a Nazir. Rabbi Dom Rishim Rabbi Tarfon says, not so. Neither fellow is a Nazir. The only way to become a Nazir, in Nazir Salah Hafla'a. The only way to become a Nazir is with an absolute statement. Anytime you attach a Tanai, maybe, if, then it's automatically not a Nazir. It's only if it's with absolute Hafla'a that a person becomes a Nazir. So what we're suggesting is that the reason the Neder in our Mishnah, these Nedarim are not Chal, is because there's a Tanai attached to these Nedarim. And we're assuming, like Rabbi Dimashim Rabbi Tarfon, that whenever you attach a Tanai, it's not Hafla'a, it's not an absolute statement, and that's why these Nedarim aren't Chal. So the Rabbi Dimashim Rabbi Tarfon that says, Liola mein echad meim Nazir, neither Ruvein nor Shimon is a Nazir in the case that we described, Lufishlo nazirus al hafla, because nazirus is always in a lashon of hafla with an absolute lashon. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Afilu temer abanan. You could even say that our mission is going not like Rabbi Tarfon. Even if you hold that nazirus can be chal when it's al tanai and when it's not absolute, even if you hold that that does work for nazirus, still the nedarim in our mission are not going to be chal because mi katani shneyan ratzu shneyan rotz in katani. Because it doesn't say shneim ratzu, our Mishnah is not an issue of hafla. It's because the Chum figured out that they weren't being noder bedafka; they were just being mizareis. Ratzu means that the ratzu lebasof. Ratzu would imply that they later changed their mind and decided, okay, fine, we'll sell it, we'll make the deal for 3 dinarim. No, but it says shneim rotzin. Shneim rotzin means that was their intention meikara, and that's why these nedarim are not chal, because the words that they said were not what they were thinking, even at the time that they said those words. Shneim rotzin means when the guy said, I'm not selling it for less than a seller, he was thinking 3 dinarim. When the guy said, I'm not going to pay more than a shekel, he was actually already thinking 3 dinarim. So the Rishonim explained over this idea of that even by that the Gemara is obviously comparing this to nedarim, because in our mission it's not about nazir, it's a neder about a sale price or something, so it has nothing to do with the nazirus. So the Rishonim point out that even though by nedarim the lashon hafla'a is never used by nedarim in the Torah, so it's not as logical to say that the idea that a neder nitan al hafla, but nevertheless there's a hekesh between nedarim and nazirus. So by nedarim also, if nazirus requires hafla'a, requires an absolute statement, nedarim would also have to be very clear at the time of the neder in an absolute statement that one is being makabel the neder. So that's what the havamin is, that a neder al tanai is not going to be a valid neder. The achronim though raised the question in Sefer HaFlos Nedarim and other achronim that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Chafhei that the reason that Rabbi Tarfon holds that ein echad me'am nazir is because he's told in nizirusa b'tnai, and that's asmachta. And the halacha is that asmachta lo kanya, that if you're that asmachta is not an absolute commitment to something. If a person makes a kinyan on with thinking that he's going to the classic case of asmachta, the sugya in the Gemara there is about gambling. A person puts money down thinking that he's going to win, so he's not really being makna the money when he loses, because he only put the money down with the plan of winning the money. So he never really fully committed to losing the money. So they associate Rabbi Tarfon's shita with asmachta, that the reason Rabbi Tarfon says that nazirus doesn't work unless there's hafla'a is because if there's no hafla'a, you're attaching it tonight to it, you're making it somehow conditional, that's asmachta. So then Rabbi Tarfon would hold that Tosfos writes over there in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Tarfon would hold the same thing, Kol HaTorah Kula, that it's asmachta, it's lo kanya, and that's the rule, Kol HaTorah Kula. So l'chora, you don't even have to say that hukash nedarim l'nezirus, and that that's why you would need hafla. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it's about asmachta, that a person never fully commits to, if a person attaches a condition, a maybe, an if, then it's never considered to be a full, viable commitment. That's that's the assumption. The Ran raises another issue over here. What was the havamin of the Gemara? The Gemara first thought that our Mishnah must be going like Rabbi Tarfon, only like Rabbi Tarfon, and then it said, no, our Mishnah is about what they originally intended. The Ran says, v'kashli, l'may desalka daitach me'ekara, the time in Masis Mishum Hafla'ahu. According to the Havamina, that it was all about Hafla'a, l'amale l'mishni shneim rotzim b'shlosha dinarim v'rotzu l'besof ka'amar. Why does it have to say that they both really wanted 3 dinarim? Klomer sh'niskayim ha'mecha b'shlosha dinarim afilu nitnu It shouldn't matter what they ultimately decided on, even if actually it would have been sold at the end for a seller and the mocher would have out-negotiated the lokech, or it would have been sold for a shekel, the lokech would have won the negotiation. Either way, it still shouldn't be a neder, because at the time of the neder, it wasn't mevura davar whether the neder is going to be chal. So what does it matter that shneim rotzim b'shlosha dinarim? That whole part is irrelevant if this is all about hafla'a. So says the Ran, v'nir be'enai detanu rabusa katani. The havamina is that the Tanu was teaching me an extra chiddush. D'lo mi bayi b'shneim shayim ha'alchen b'derech v'amrachem me'am areini nazir shezeh ish ploni v'amrachaveri areini nazir she'eino de'enechem me'am nazir. Not only in the case of Rabbi Tarfon, where the two guys are talking, Reuven and Shimon are talking, and Reuven says, I'll be a Nazir if that's Ishploni, and Shimon says, I'll be a Nazir if it's not Ishploni, that neither of them are a Nazir, Rabbi Yudim and Shimon Rabbi Tarfon, Tasam Dinu Shalotachon Nazirusam, Lufisha Yef Shalachon Nazirus Al Shneim. Over there it makes sense that they shouldn't be Nazirim, because it's impossible that they're both Nazirim, because each one said that they're only going to be Nazir on the condition that what the other one said is not accurate. So it's a, we see the one way or the other, they can't both be Nazirim. So if one of their commitments for Nazirus is automatically not going to be good enough, so the other commitment for Nazirus is not good enough. Shemisha Rishona Yatsu Nazirus Levatala. Because right at the moment they were being Mekabel the Nazirus, it was already Levatala, at least halfway. That's the obvious case of Rabbi Tarfon, where it's not considered a viable commitment. But we thought that our Mishnah is adding to that. But even by Mocher Lokeach, where it's possible that the neder would be chal on both of them, and it could be that the neder is chal, because maybe it won't be sold for a sella or a shekel. Maybe it will be sold for shlosha dinarim in the end. So the everyone's neder should be chal. Even then, Rabbi Tarfon is going to say that since there was a lack of hafla'a, it's not a viable commitment, and therefore it's not going to be considered an absolute neder. That's the extra chiddush that the Mishnah would have been saying in the Hava Mina, if we were to understand the Mishnah like the Hava Mina of the Gemara understands the Hava Mina. Now, when we also, in this Hava Mina, we wanted to attach our Mishnah to Rabbi Tarfon, so are we only attaching Nidrei Zruzin to Rabbi Tarfon, or all four Nidarim to Rabbi Tarfon? That too is a machlokas rishonim. Some of the rishonim understand the Tos HaRash and others that what the Gemara is trying to say that Rabbi Yudi, that's only about Nidrei Zruzin, but the other three Nidarim that we mentioned in the Mishnah would be mutar even according to the Rabbanan, and they bring a raya from the fact that Rava is docha Rabbi Yehuda Nesia only from the case of Nidrei Zruzin, meaning he says Shneim, he brings a raya from Shneim Ratzu, not Shneim Rotzin, not Shneim Ratzu. So you see clearly that he's only talking about the example of Nidrei Zruzin, and other Rishonim say not so, that it applies to all of the Dalid Nidarim. That's the sheet of the Ritz, that it all applies. It applies to all Dalid Nidarim that we initially tried to attach specifically to Rabbi Tarfon. Karenora has an interesting question over here. He says, if you say like Rabbi Tarfon, Neder al Tanai, the Neder is not Chal. So what was the first Neder you have in the Torah? Yaakov Avinu makes a Neder. Vayidu Yaakov Neder Lemar Im Yel Kimi Madi. If Hashem is with me, then Kol Asher Titen Liyaser Asan Alach. Then I'm going to give Meiser. So the very first neder that was taken in the Torah was the neder al tanai. How could Rabbi Tarfon say that a neder can't be chal al tanai? That a neder al tanai is insufficient hafla'a, it's an insufficient commitment. That's what Yaakov Avinu did. That was the neder that we have in the Torah. So the Karen Ora suggests that Rabbi Tarfon would be moda about a neder be'is tzara. We learn from Yaakov Avinu that it's a mitzvah lindor be'is tzara. It's a mitzvah even though generally we don't take nedarim and we try to avoid nedarim, but be'is tzara, it's appropriate for a person to take a neder. So maybe Rabbi Tarfon would agree that be'is tzara, since a person is pushed into the neder in be'is tzara, that's something that's going to motivate him to be more committed to the neder, even though he has a lack of hafla'a, even though it's only al tanai. The extra commitment made up by the pressure of the eis tzara may make up for the lack of commitment in his lashon of the neder. The Shalmei Nedarim says that by nidre mitzvah and nidre tzedakah, the neder is going to be chal even al tanai. So specifically by Yaakov Avinu Aser Asrenulach, it's about what Yaakov Avinu was being noder, not so much about the circumstance that he was being noder, but what he was being noder. Okay, vayter in the Gemara. Amar le Ravina Ravashi, amar lo fail misela, valomer batzir mishekel, nidravi ozruzenhavi. What if the numbers were different? What if he said more than a sella or less than a shekel? So do we assume that then it's going to be a real neder, or that also is just posturing? That also is just simple negotiation. So what exactly is the case over here? The Ran is two deus. We'll stick with the second one. It's one the Mefarish agrees with, where a guy says tfeil misela. He says I'm not going to sell it to you for less than a sella and a quarter, and the other one says some number less than a shekel, meaning I'm not going to give it to you for even a dinar. which is less than a shekel. So the gap between the two prices is much wider, and that's what we're asking. That when they're close in the price that they're negotiating, so it could be Meikara, they both meant Shlosha Dinarim, and they knew that that's where it was going to fall out, somewhere in the middle, and it was obviously posturing. But when they're so far off in terms of the numbers that they're throwing out there, so maybe they really mean it. Maybe they're not so sure that they're going to come to some middle ground, and we can't be so confident that what they really mean is Shlosha Dinarim. So that's how most of the Rishonim understand the Gemara Shaila over here. Amar Leit Tanina, so he said, well, you learned this in the Braisa. If someone was bothering his friend, he was encouraging his friend to eat by him. He takes a neder that I'm not going to enter your house or even have a tipas tzonin, even a drop of a cold drink. I'm not going to have a. He's inviting him for a su'uda, but he's saying a konam that he's not even going to have a tipas tzonin, that he's not going to have anything if he goes there. So mutzli konis lebeso velishtos himenu tzonin shloniskavin zel l'shamachil v'shtia. He's allowed to go into his house and he's allowed to drink some tzonin. What he really meant to say is he was responding to the invitation. He was really just exaggerating. He was really saying, I'm not coming for a meal. But the way he formulated it was, I'm not even going to drink a tipas tzonin, because he wanted to emphasize the point. V'amai v'tipas tzonin kamar. What do you mean he's allowed to have a tipas tzonin? He said that he's not going to have a tipas tzonin. How can you say that he's only not allowed to go for a meal and that a tipas tzonin is okay? El mishtay inishachi. That's the way people talk sometimes. People speak belashon guzma. People speak in exaggerated terms. So achinami mishtay inishachi. Over here also, people sometimes throw out ridiculous prices, and they know a person's going to ask for an item that he's selling for his house, let's say. He's going to ask some price that he knows is way off. It's way more than anyone would ever pay for his house. But he throws it out there, and he knows ultimately they're going to settle on something that's in between. So that's that over here also, it would not be considered a neder. Even the numbers in the Mishnah are imprecise. It doesn't have to, or are not specifically those numbers. It could be any numbers that they're negotiating, even numbers that are very off from each other. The Rush writes that when we say over here, mutzli lekanes lebeso velishtos himenu tzonin, so he's allowed to go into his house and have some cold drink. The Rush says, and kol shekein is mutzli b'achilu v'shtia, meaning even the words that he said, that he's not going to have tzonin, even that he's allowed to do. For sure he's allowed to then have achil v'shtia. He's allowed to have a full meal, because he didn't even mention achil v'shtia in his neder. But the whole point of why he's allowed to have the tzonin is because we assume that he meant that he doesn't want to come have a meal. That was his kavana the whole time, that he doesn't want to have a meal. But nevertheless, he says, since it was a neder belev, and what he meant was only belev, that wasn't his lashon of neder, he's not going to be bound by that neder either. So since it wasn't what he said and what he meant were two different things, so he's not going to be bound by it at all. It means that he's going to be allowed to go in and have a full meal. Amar Leh, so the Gemara says, wait a second, me dummy, how can you compare the two cases of the guy taking a neder about the tipas tzonin versus people negotiating a price and saying outlandish numbers? Gabet tzonin, tzadikim omrim ma'at v'osin harbe. You have to remember, when it comes to inviting someone to your house, when it comes to tzonin, tzadikim very often will say that they're going to do very little, but then they actually do a lot. So tzonin very often translates into a full meal. So that's why the guy took a neder of a tipas tzonin, because even if you're only offering me a tipas tzonin, I know what you're really offering. You're a tzaddik. You're not going to just give me a tipas tzonin. You're not going to invite me over and just give me a little bit. Tzaddikim are omrim ma'at and osin harbe. You're going to do a lot more for me, as the Mefarish over here says. V'zeshay misariv b'chaver shiyochel etzlo kima v'yishta tipas tzonin. When he was asking him to come and just have a little bit, vade l'achil v'shiyam ruba kamar. He was clearly saying, I'm going to give you a 10-course meal. Ki kein darkan shal tzaddikim. So therefore, when the other guy responds, konam tipas tzonin shani toem, hachi niskavin lomar, osa tipas shatarot zelitin li, eini toem. I'm taking a neder not to have that tipa that you're offering me. You know what that tipa that you're offering me is? A giant 10-course meal. That's my neder. That's what I mean to commit not to have. Tainu achilu meruba. The Mefarish seems to understand, not like we said before, not like the Mefarish seems to understand that the not like the Rush says, rather, but that the neder would be chal for achil meruba. That is a valid lashon of a neder for achil meruba. It's only a tipas tzorin that he's allowed to have, because the language that people speak when they invite come over for a small meal really means come over for a large meal, because that's what tzaddikim do. How do we know that this is what tzaddikim do? So we learn it from Avraham Avinu, of course. Ve'echa pas lechem, he tells the malachim, I'm going to give you pas lechem, and then what does he actually give them? Chema, chalav, bakar. He gives them meat and butter and milk, and he gives them this fantastic meal. So the Sefer Chassidim just points out that even though a tzaddik is omer ma'at v'os arbe, he has to be careful not to lie. He shouldn't say that I'm only going to give you this. He has to say I'll give you something and just mention something small, and then go ahead and give a lot more. But it's still midvar sheker tirchuk would require that we not say something that's not true. In fact, there's a discussion in the later Achronim. The Chidat talks about whether it's considered a lie. We don't find that he actually gave them bread. In fact, the Gemara sounds like sounds like he didn't actually give them bread. That he only gave them the meat and what the Chumash describes that he gave them. So he actually didn't do what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to give them bread and he didn't. So you see from there, the Chidat suggests that if you say you're going to give something small and then you give something else big, that's not a lie, because you've increased it by so much that it's not considered to be a sheker. But anyway, okay, so back in the Gemara, so hacha sveku, but as opposed to over here, it's a situation of suffix. Dilma pachli misela v'yosra al shekel kamar v'ziru zinavi. We could understand that he just means, I'm not going to sell it for less than a seller, and the other guy saying, I'm not going to buy it for more than a shekel, and they're just posturing. Or dilma dafka ka'amar v'nidra havi, or maybe they actually mean the prices that they're saying. And if a guy says that I'm not selling it for less than a sela and a half, and the other one says I'm not buying it for less than a single dinar, for more than a single dinar, so maybe that's that they mean that seriously, and it's really a neder. Tibai, so the Gemara leaves this question unresolved, whether it's binding or not, whether such a neder is binding or not. So what do we do if the Gemara leaves it unresolved? So Machlokas Rishonim, as could be predicted, most of the Rishonim, the large majority of the Rishonim, the Ran, Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, and the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch is that we go l'chumrah, that the neder is going to be chal, since Gemara leaves it as a suffix. However, the Meiri says that nirin advarim l'hakel, because this is the derech of Nidrei Zeruzin, that Nidrei Zeruzin very often people say ridiculous numbers that are way off the mark, just as a way of bargaining. Everyone has a different style in bargaining. Some people try to bargain with realistic numbers to let the other party know that they're serious about the transaction. Other people try to bargain with, throw it against the wall, see what sticks, and see if it happens. You never know. So just throw out these ridiculous numbers. But it's all just posturing. It's all just bargaining, and that's just the way it works. That's the machlokas Rishonim over here. The Rambam interestingly leaves out this entire suffix. He just doesn't mention the whole case of more than a sela and less than a shekel. So the Rav Minahar writes the fact that the Rambam doesn't bring the suffix in the Gemara. It must be that he holds the hakel, and the neder is not going to be chal. Kesem Mishna says, but why would the Rambam leave out the case? He says it could be that since the Rambam doesn't write is only matir when the mocher says sell and lokech says shekel. That's the only case he writes. Mainly, you see that if it's a greater difference between them, that it'd be machmir, meaning they have different diukim in the Rambam. Why does the Rambam not say it? So some of the achronim say Rambam doesn't say because it's obviously lekula. Others say no, the Rambam doesn't say because it's obviously lechumra. So it's obvious to everyone, but it's apparently obvious to the Rambam in one way or the other. But we're not clear. It's machlokas achronim what the Rambam would have meant. But we know what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like the Rov Rishonim that we assume l'chumra that the neder is chal. Amar Rav Asi, arba nedarim alal tzrich and she'ilu l'chacham. Ridam Rav Asi says these four nedarim require she'ilu l'chacham. Meaning you want to undo these nedarim, you need to go to l'chacham to be matir them. Ki amrisa kameid Shmuel, he said this in front of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel said, what? Tana tani arba nedarim hitiru chachamim. The Mishnah says these four nedarim, the chacham were automatically matir. Va'at amar tzrich and she'ilu l'chacham. And you're going to say require she'ilu l'chacham? Why should it require? These are automatic heterim. These are automatically not binding nedarim. It should not require she'ilah l'chacham. So Rav Yosef masin l'hashmaita b'hay lishna. Rav Yosef taught it in the following lashon. Amar Rav Asi ein chacham rashay lahatir ela ke'ein arba'a nedarim halalu. That, no, what we're trying to say is that a chacham can only be matir a neder that's similar to these four nedarim, which Ron explained means that a chacham can only be matir, that a chacham cannot be matir a neder ali de charata, he needs a pesach. So any neder that's hutar ali de pesach is considered similar to these four nedarim, because it's a pesach that he's making the neder like a neder ta'us. Whereas if he just says that I have charata, but not that there was a pesach, again means that initially, had he known then what he knows now, he never would have taken the neder in the first place. Charata is, no, he took the neder and he would have taken the neder knowing what he knows. It's just that he now regrets having taken the neder. That's charata. So when we're saying that chacham kol be matir ke'ein nedar malolo means charata is not enough. You need to actually find a pesach. You need to find what didn't you know then that would have led you to a different conclusion, that would have made you not take the neder. So kasavar ein poschen b'charata. That's what we're saying, that you cannot be poseach b'charata. Before we go further in that discussion, so we said that there's a machlokas apparently over here whether you need she'ela l'chacham on these nedarim. It sounds from our Mishnah, the Pashas of our Mishnah, definitely not, that you don't need to be she'ela l'chacham on these nedarim. But nevertheless, we did have this statement over here of Shmuel, who said that he tiru chachamim. I'm sorry, it was Rav Yudam Ravasi that tzrichen she'el l'chacham. Shmuel disagreed. Rav Yudam Ravasi that tzrichen she'el l'chacham. So lahalacha, the Rishonim all pasken like Shmuel, like the Pashas of our Mishnah, that you don't need she'el l'chacham, that these things are mutter me'aleim. And the raya they bring is from a Gemara Nazir Yeralfim Beis. The Gemara Nazir associates the machlokas Ravasi and Shmuel with the machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, where Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan and Rav Asi holds like Rabbi Shimon. One of the ways that we determine how to paskin when you have a machlokas between two individual Amorayim is finding out who else holds like each side. And if you can ascertain a majority on one side versus a minority on the other side, well, that will lead us obviously to how to paskin. Or you could somehow connect it to a machlokas Tanayim where it's a machlokas Beishame Beisilel, so then you know you're going to paskin like the one that goes like Beisilel. So when the Gemara Nazir associates Shmuel specifically with Rabbanan and Rav Asi with the Das Yochid of Rabbi Shimon, so that's an indication that we're going to pass like Shmuel, because that's the Rabbin, that's the majority opinion, so clearly we're going to pass like Shmuel. So now the Gemara just tells us different situations that happened. Someone came to Rav Huna, Amalei Libcha Alach. So Rav Huna said, did you really mean it? Libcha Alach, that's an expression. Was that your desire at the time that today also you're maskim to what you were noder b'shaito and you didn't change your mind at all? Amalei lo. He says, no, I changed my mind. I have charata now. V'shaya. And he was matir just based on the charata itself. He didn't require anything more than the charata. Who does al kamed Rabbi Rav Huna? Someone came to Rabbi Rav Huna in order to be matir's neder. Amalei, Rabbi Rav Huna said to him, Iluay asar b'nei adam she'yifaisucha bo'os hasha mina darta. If there would have been 10 people there that were convincing you not to take the neder at that time, would you have taken the neder that were calming you down and talking you off the ledge and telling you not to take this neder, would you have done it? Amalei lo. He said, if they would be mefayis mina, I would not have taken the neder. V'itiru, and he was matirid. The Rishonim discussed, why 10? Why dafka 10 people, and if it was 5 people, and if it was 8 people? So 10 is shechina sharia, that with 10 people, the shechina is there. So that's what he's trying to tell them. If you would have known that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so involved in your life, and he's looking at all the nedarim that you're taking, and these things are very serious, so would you have taken those nedarim? That's the idea. We actually, it's Dafyomi coincidence, we learned the idea of minyan, of 10, from yesterday's parasha, from the Meraglim, the Eda Hara. Tanya, we have another brace, Rabido Omer, Omrim Lola Adam, he said to a person, Lev Ze Alecha, or do you still have the same, do you have charata, or do you not have charata? Imam Lav, if he says, I'm a scharet, matir noso, so then we're matir. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishamav, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishamaviv, Omrim Lola Adam, we say to the person, Iluay Asar Ben Adam, Shev Vesuch, Abel Sasham, Mina Darta, Imam Lav, matir noso. And if he says, I would not have taken it if there would have been 10 people convincing me not to, then we're matir. period. Now four different cases that happened. We're not going to go through all four, but a couple of them. Who does the commit Rabbi Yossi? Someone came to Rabbi Yossi to be matir's neder. Amalei, so Rabbi Yossi asked the noder, kaduta his, where are you mischarit meikara on your neder? Amalei, he said, lo? Wait, you think I'm not? What do you think I'm doing here? I'm obviously mischarit, that's why I want you to get rid of the neder. Visharye, so Rabbi Yossi was matir the neder, he holds charat is good enough. Who does the commit Rabbi Lazar? Someone came to Rabbi Lazar to be matir neder. Amalei, bais nedar, until now, did you want to take the neder, and it's only from here on in that you don't want the neder, or are you even mischarit that you ever took the neder in the first place? Meaning, are you happy that you had this neder up until now, and it's just that you don't want to observe it anymore going forward, or do you have charata that you ever took it? He says, if they wouldn't have angered me at the time of the neder, I would not have taken the neder at all. I mean, I have charata that I let my anger get the best of me, and that I ever took this neder. Amalei, take kivas. So he says, then it should be like your will. Your neder should be gone. We're poskin b'charata. And third story, there's a woman who took a neder hana from her daughter. Asal kamed Rabbi Yochanan, she came to Rabbi Yochanan to try to find the pesach to the neder. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to the woman, if you would have known that your neighbors are going to say about your daughter that if the mother would not have seen in the daughter some very inappropriate behaviors, inappropriate activities, there's no way she would have taken a neder against her daughter for no reason. So if you would have known that would have destroyed your daughter's reputation by taking such a neder, miyadarta, would you have ever taken such a neder? Armalei, she said, lo, I never would have wanted to destroy my daughter's reputation. And he thought that was enough to be matir the neder. Beis Hashem, look up at the fourth case tomorrow.